puts him down. Nasty from Jason Foley to close out Kansas City. 4-1, your final.
And the Royals lose 2 out of 3 in Detroit, are now 17-12 on the season, and they head north to Canada to play a 3-game series with the 14-15 Blue Jays in Toronto. Welcome to Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair, as the boys in blue have already matched a April record for wins in franchise history at 17-12. They'll try to break that record going into things here tonight against Toronto. Now, there are some years where they start a season later, so you didn't have a full month of April to get all those games. So that's why that stat is a little bit misleading. But Michael Walker gave up 4 runs on 9 hits and 5 2/3. He's 1-3 on the season. And the Royals still in pretty good shape at 17-12. Of course, the Guardians off to a great start at 19-9. So the Royals are chasing them, and the Tigers are on the heels of the Royals. It's early, but we're about to the 30-game point of 162 this season. Many things to get to. K-State, KU with some transfer portal news. The NFL draft, we'll take a look at that and who the Chiefs drafted. NBA playoffs, some wild things that happened last night, and some weird situations, and the NHL playoffs as well. But we throw it to Dusty for local sports. The Beloit Relays took place on Friday. We had baseball, softball, and we got more local sports today.
Yeah, a lot of activity on Friday, and you can find all the results for that at ntksports.com. A lot of area athletes had a lot of success there at the Beloit Relays, the 84th running. And at Trojan Field there, the Lady Trojans did have an outstanding day and took first place in the 3-4A girls division, highlighted by a meet record 45'7" mark in the shot put from Tatum Seifert. So that was the big note there from Beloit there on Friday. And again, Tatum also took the gold in the discus. Just a lot of success there for the Lady Trojans this season all through the way, because they've competed in 6 meets this year, and they've won all 6 of them. So first place finish again for the Beloit girls there on Friday. In the 3-4A boys division, Southeast Saline took home the upper division team title there. In the lower division, 1-2A team champions Washington County on the girls' side and El Saline on the boys' side. Again, you can find the full results for the Beloit Relays at ncksports.com. Also, Friday in baseball, a nice win for the Beloit Trojans to open out a doubleheader with Abilene. They pulled the upset over the 4A Abilene Cowboys 9-8. Joel Rexroth had a complete game win there for Beloit in that first game. And then in the second game, it was Abilene turning around and winning 19-4 in 3 innings. So Beloit goes 1-1 at Abilene in baseball. Softball, Beloit goes 0-2 at Abilene on Friday, 11-1 Abilene in 6 in game 1. And Abilene took the second game 6-4 there in Abilene. Also in softball, Colby Sylvan Lucas. Colby gets a sweep 9-1 in the first game, 6-2 in the second game there in Sylvan Grove. So look at what happened to end the week. As Wade said, there is activity today as well in high school golf. The Southeast Saline Invitational at Solana at 9 o'clock. Beloit will be competing in that just underway here this morning. And also the Clay Center Invitational this afternoon. Concordia is competing there. That starts at 3 o'clock. And in baseball and softball, Minneapolis is at Sylvan Lucas today. Baseball will be at Lucas. Softball at Sylvan Grove. So that's what's on the docket here for today in high school sports. Get ncksports.com for all of the schedules for local teams here in North Central Kansas.
All right, Kansas State received some big commitments in both football and basketball. Once committed to K-State High School at Derby, running back Dylan Edwards, who entered the transfer portal of Colorado, is going to Kansas State. He played in 12 games for the Buffs, 744 all-purpose yards as a freshman, 5 touchdowns, but he will now be with his good friend Avery Johnson there at Kansas State. Jerome Tang adding commitments for the basketball team. Villanova guard Brendan Housen on Friday. Arkansas power forward Bay Fall on Saturday. Housen averaged 6 points at Villanova. Fall was a McDonald's All-American, played in just 9 games for the Razorbacks, averaged less than a point. Quez Glover, who didn't even play for K-State this past year, he is going to the portal after missing most of last year due to injury. KU also got some good news on the basketball court on Friday, although we've been telling you this for weeks, that Hunter Dickinson was coming back to Kansas, and he made that official over the weekend on Friday and into the weekend. And Alabama shooting guard Rylan Griffin committed to the Jayhawks. He averaged 11 points, shot just under 40% from three for the Crimson Tide, who made the Final Four this past season. So Bill Self is not messing around when it comes to the portal. He's got another outstanding transfer that he has there, and he has Hunter Dickinson coming back, and Kansas absolutely looks to be loaded. But we'll see if anybody changes their mind. They did have a high school point guard that changed his mind, got out of a letter of intent. So that happens. Kids are going to change their mind from time to time. And we saw last year Kansas had a couple guys that were going to be big parts of the team. One changed his mind. Another got accused of rape, charged with rape and all that. And now that case is done, it looks like, or is over. But we'll see what happens between now and the start of next college basketball season. Over the weekend, NFL draft finished up. Kansas State had some players that were drafted. We'll get to that here in a moment. But Texas wide receiver Xavier Worthy goes in the first round to the Chiefs. Chiefs added six more players with three offensive linemen, two DBs, and a tight end. BYU tackle Kingsley Suamataya was the second round pick, and thanks for spelling that out phonetically on the paper.
I had to do that for myself, and I figured you'd like that as well.
I will say I think I would have been close without it. I think I would have been. Now, some I'm just waiting.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs get him in the second round. TCU tight end Jared Wiley, they pick up later in the draft in the fourth, along with safety Jaden Hicks. In the fifth round, they picked up an offensive lineman who's played center. He can play guard. He'd probably be the Nick Allegretti replacement is how I see that. Hunter Norzad, although he's a fifth-round pick. Tennessee defensive back Kamal Haddon taking the sixth round. Chiefs wrapped up Saturday with Holy Cross offensive lineman C.J. Hansen. K-State tight end Ben Sinnott was taken the second round, 53rd overall by the Commanders. Guard Cooper Beebe will be reunited with Deuce Vaughn as he was picked 73rd overall and goes to the Cowboys. And KU guard Dominic Pooney went to the Niners in the third round as well. In the fifth round, the Bears selected edge rusher from KU Austin Booker. K-State guard KT Leviston was picked by the Rams in the seventh round. Many KU and K-State players invited to teams as free agents. You can learn more at kusports.com or go to the K-State website or cjonline.com. Of note, center Hayden Gillum for Plainville reached an agreement with the Bears. Wide receiver returner Phillip Brooks is headed to the Chiefs. And there are really good players that don't get drafted that end up being really important players. And, of course, we know Isaiah Pacheco did get drafted, but he was a seventh-round pick. He's turned out to be a pretty good pick for the Chiefs. The Chiefs have had some really good late-round picks. I think some people just brush off a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh-round pick as if they won't do anything. Well, Tom Brady was a sixth-round pick. We know that was a pretty decent pick. And there are other examples as well. And so let's take a look at the Chiefs draft. And they move up with the Bills to take Xavier Worthy. So they got 4-2-1, 40 speed. I'm sure you talked about this Friday on the show. But listen, there's no reason not to be excited if you're a Chiefs fan. You got Hollywood Brown. You got Rashee Rice. You got Travis Kelce, although I think Rice will be suspended for a portion of the season next year because of his racing down in Texas. And who knows what else with all the charges and probably some more things will come out. Some civil suits and stuff, I think, will happen and lawsuits against him. There's one already. But even without Rashee Rice, obviously this wide receiver's room is more talented than last year. They still are not giving up on Kadarius Toney, so he's still a part of the mix. I don't know how much Xavier Worthy is going to help this team initially in regards to in the passing game because it takes guys some time. And Rashee Rice, it took half the season. Sky Moore really hasn't fully clicked. He was a second-round pick a couple years ago. But Xavier Worthy, even if he doesn't do much offensively first part of the season and he starts to pick it up, he is an outstanding punt returner. So if you use him as a punt returner, which, listen, I'm okay with him instead of Kadarius Toney, put him as punt returner, then he can make some electric plays. He's small, you know, kind of like Mecole Hardman a little bit, but he's been a pretty tough hombre there at Texas. I have no problem for the Chiefs. They're trying to get speed, spread the field, stretch the field. That'll open up some things underneath. You know, the tight end Wiley from TCU, I like that pick. I think that's a good pick for him. I thought the Chiefs got some pretty good value in this draft based on I mean, they needed to get a tackle, I think, for depth. And they did that. I mean, Donovan Smith is a free agent right now. He's your starting left tackle. Wanya Morris, he may or may not be your starting left tackle. Juwan Taylor apparently is going to stay at right tackle. So you lost Nick Allegretti, who did played well in the Super Bowl in place of Joe Tooney, and now he's went to the Commanders and got his money. So they addressed the offensive line in regards to Hunter Norzad is a kid, fifth-round pick out of Penn State that can play center. He can play guard. You know, if Creed Humphrey can't come up to agreement with him here in the next year or so in regards to a long-term extension, maybe Hunter Norzad could be your new center down the line. Not saying he will be, but I'm just saying he provides you some flexibility there if he ends up panning out. And then the kid from BYU, he's a big tackle, has a ton of athleticism. He is very athletic for a tackle. And so that's something that you need when the Chiefs, you know, are predominantly more of a passing team. You want to protect Patrick Mahomes. So I like the tackle pick in the second round. I think it was a need. There's a want and there's a need. there's a difference. And I think the Chiefs had a few needs. And I think, you know, they needed to add to the wide receiver room. Xavier Worthy is that. You also have electric punt returner if you use him there. I like that. Maybe it'd be a kick returner. Who knows? With the new kickoff rules, maybe that's going to be part of the equation as well. And I like the tight end pick for Jared Wiley. I've been saying this for a while. They need to come up with a replacement for Travis Kelce. People already comparing him to Kelce, which is unfair because the Wiley kid is nowhere close to Kelce at this point in time. But he is a kid that is a good pass blocker. He is a good blocker in general. He's got a good catch radius. He is similar build. And so it could end up being a steal in the fourth round. One guy a lot of people aren't talking about is, and they didn't really have to go there, but I think they just flat out said, look, I can't believe this guy's still there, was a top-rated safety in the draft, according to some. They get Washington State safety Jaden Hicks. There's a kid that, you know, could easily be, you know, in a year or two, a starting safety for this squad that might be more special teams to start. I thought that was a tremendous value pick for Brett Veach and the Chiefs. And then I'll tell you another thing. I like the DB from Tennessee. I've seen him play a little bit last year. He is a really good athlete, and he just had injury issues. And this is the type of corner the Chiefs get. You know, a 6'1", you're getting taller corners that are athletic. And we saw, you know, Legarius Sneed was, what, a third or a fourth-round pick? I think it's a fourth-round pick. And there's a guy that, you know, that turned into maybe the best corner in the league. You can get value in the second day or the third day of the draft. You really, truly can. And the guys that fall are the guys that have either issues off the field and you take a chance, like Tyreek Hill. I would say he was pretty much worth a fifth-round draft pick, yeah. Tyreek Hill. And then that got you a lot of draft picks later on. That was a really good draft pick. Legarius Sneed was an outstanding draft pick. You know, even Kareem Hunt in the third round, he fell because there were some flags with him, and he gave the Chiefs very productive years until he had his issue, and then he got basically kicked off the team. They still got value out of the third round pick. So Brett Veach has gotten value out of a lot of picks. I can't think of a lot of picks that have been bust. I think Sky Moore is one that people think as a bust. Maybe there's one or two others. He's traded up multiple times the first round. Obviously, the Chiefs traded up to get Patrick Mahomes back in the day. They've traded up in the first round to get other players, but in particular, you know, Trent McDuffie, and got up ahead of the Bills. In this case, they trade with the Bills, get Xavier Worthy. And I think, you know, for all the people that jump onto all these national pundits talking about how the Chiefs fleeced the Bills on this whole thing. Okay, first of all, anything the Chiefs do, because they're so good at what they do, but anything that they do, a lot of national pundits are automatically lazily, if that's such a term, going to say, what an amazing pick. What an amazing draft. And Brett Veach has earned that. But the Bills got to do what's right for the Bills. Mm-hmm. And so who cares if they traded with the Chiefs? If the Bills didn't want Xavier Worthy, which clearly they didn't, because if they did, they would have stayed that pick and taken him. They were able to get a, you know, approve their draft stock a little bit, you know, and flip some spots, get a pick. I mean, who cares if it's with the Chiefs or not? I thought that was completely overblown by everybody. Because the Bills got to worry about building their team. And if the Chiefs are sitting at 28, or if the Bills are sitting at 28 and they get calls from teams and the Chiefs give them the best deal to move down because the Bills know that the guy they want is still going to be there at 33, why in the hell shouldn't they trade with the Chiefs? Mm-hmm. Now, that was draft pick, okay? Now, it is reported that, Stephon Diggs, that they said there's one team we will not talk to in regards to trading Stephon Diggs, and that was the Kansas City Chiefs, mm-hmm. according to reports. Now, I get that one. Yeah, established guy that's an outstanding player. But in regards to a draft pick, I mean, you move down a few slots. You adjusted some draft picks to make this trade so the Chiefs could get a guy that you didn't want anyway. So if you don't want him anyway, why would you go ahead and take the guy that you want if you know you could get him four or five picks below? So to me, that's smart business sense. And now Xavier Worthy goes off to have a Hall of Fame career, but he's like, oh, the Bills were idiots. Well, but it doesn't change the fact that they were never going to draft him.
No.
You know, the Buffalo Bills, if they obviously they weren't going to draft Patrick Mahomes, at least not at 10. Mm-hmm. So they traded, and the Chiefs moved all the way up to 10 to get Patrick Mahomes. So, well, the Bills could have had Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, they could have, but they weren't interested at the time. There are people that didn't think Mahomes was that great. They thought Deshaun Watson be the guy there. I mean, hell, the Bears went from 3-2 to get Trubisky. That wasn't very bright. But you make trades in the best interest of your organization. So whether it's the Chiefs that happen to be the one that calls and they say, you're going, oh, I'm not going to do business with Chiefs even though they give me the best offer. Well, that's stupid business. Mm-hmm. That's just dumb business. You got to do what's best to build your team. And so the Chiefs wanted Worthy. They moved up. They moved up slightly to get the tackle. They're not afraid to move up. The Chiefs have moved down. I like what the Chiefs did. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that they had this unbelievable draft, because when you pick at the end of most rounds, you're not going to have an A-plus draft. I think their draft is decent. I like what they've done in this draft. They got best value in some spots because they're that good already. They added to the wide receiver room, which is a need. And with Rashee Rice possibly suspended, even more so. They got a tackle that I think they needed, and they like him a lot. He's very athletic, and they could really, you know, part of this too is you draft these guys on potential. The Chiefs coaching staff has done pretty good turning guys into pretty good players.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tight end, Wiley, I like a lot. And I'll tell you something else. We've talked about the guys the Chiefs drafted, but the Chiefs also, they also got undrafted free agents to come to Kansas City. And one is Imani Bailey from TCU. And if you watch Imani Bailey run the football at TCU, he reminds me of Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Without baggage. He reminds you of Kareem Hunt. Now, he's not as good as Kareem Hunt. Not quite as big, I don't think, but man, he reminds me of that. And there'd be people like, can you imagine if the Chiefs ever had a guy like Kareem Hunt? I've got Pacheco. He can run over people. That's pretty good, too. But you don't have Jerick McKinnon, who's you got Hilaire coming back, who I think is your third back anyway. He's insurance. Maybe he's he's your third down back until you get somebody ready to go, or Pacheco gets hurt. Hilaire's a nice replacement to fill in. But the Imani Bailey kid, I like that. Undrafted, terrific speed. There are a lot of guys that aren't even drafted that are outstanding players that you can pick up and can really, really help your football team. And so a lot of people get caught up in the first round pick. Oh my gosh, Yuduka Uzomah is a bust, or Sky Moore is a bust. He's a second round pick. You know what? You might have a bust early, but you might also have a diamond in the rough like a L'Jarius Sneed. So you're not going to hit on every single pick. You know, the Haddon kid, he's a sixth round pick, and this is a kid that played in the SEC. All right, he played against some of the best football teams, best competition in the country, as we know. And he's very athletic. He is a big cover corner with athletic talent. Who doesn't want a guy like that? He began his career, believe it or not, at Independence Community College in Kansas. So there's a pick right there. You're sitting here going, well, that was a sixth round pick. That's not bad value.
I was watching his tape last night because I had a little time in between. I had everything done and then the hockey finishing up. So I was watching a couple of, well, basically the films of the two D-backs that they took. And I'm like, these look like steals where they got these guys just based on their talent. I mean, they're both unreal run stoppers in the open field. Like, it, you know, try to get to the edge and on film, obviously you're going to pick the highlights and the best plays, but they look like guys that can step up and stop a dude that's trying to get to the outside and get on the run. Mm-hmm. And this Hicks kid made a couple Roy Williams type hits and some of his at safety too. And can blitz and get to the quarterback. He looks a lot like a Tyrann Mathieu or Justin Reed type player based on his college film. Both of those D-backs, the highlights I was watching last night, I'm like, man, these guys could be real good. And again, contingent on staying healthy, obviously, but really like the Haddon kid.
I'll get to Hicks again in a moment. You referred to him a little bit there, but the Haddon pick I like.
Yeah,
I'm going backwards here. So sixth round, I skipped seventh round. The Holy Cross offensive lineman. I don't think he's gonna. I think he's have a hard time making the team, but we shall see. The fifth round pick is Hunter Norzad from Penn State, 6'3", 319 pounds. He played at right tackle 20 games in his career, center 13 games, left guard 7 games, right guard 1 game. So he must be you gotta be smart if you're gonna move around all these different positions.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs have a scout that compared him to, believe it or not, Nick Allegretti. So they think they're getting Nick Allegretti clone, and Allegretti was just so nice to have. Somebody got banged up, you could plug him in, and you didn't really skip a beat. So that one, you know, makes sense, no question. The safety, Jaden Hicks, some people would say, well, did the Chiefs really need a safety? I don't know if they really needed a safety, but this is a kid that was there. And the Chiefs, listen, I think some teams draft based off of need. I think some teams draft off of whatever's the best value on the board. If you're a very good team and you don't have a lot of needs, that's the luxury of drafting, because now you can just load up on talent.
Yeah.
And so, the Carolina Panthers have way more needs than the Chiefs do. So can they just grab the best value? We already got a couple safeties. We really need to find a wide receiver or a right guard. They're in a different situation. But the Chiefs, now, I think it's pretty clear. They wanted to address tackle. They wanted to address wide receiver. And after that, they went with what they thought was best talent available. Mm-hmm. That's how it looks to me. But Jaden Hicks is 6'3", 212. Tremendous value. He was ranked as the 54th best overall player. Another person had him 39th. Another had 78th. And he was the 133rd pick. He is rangy, intimidating presence. You mentioned some of his big hits, both downhill and on the back end. He offers the multidimensional traits to develop an NFL starter. Scheme-friendly safety. He's versatile. He can play deep. He can play up, and that's what you're talking about, Tyrann Mathieu. He can play in different spots. He's versatile. He's multidimensional. And can you imagine what Spags can do with guys like this? We know what he can do with
him. Sure.
And Hicks is only 21. He's been durable. He's played all 26 games the last couple of years. The Chiefs, I think, may have gotten this. Might end up being their best pick in the draft.
Yeah, I said, just watching this dude, I'm like, man, this guy can fit in real well with what the Chiefs are trying to do. And he's big, and he's agile. I mean, the size that he brings to the table and the movement that he has is probably what impressed me the most based on what I watched last night.
Two picks prior to that, they took 6'6", 253-pound tight end Jared Wiley from TCU. Over the last two seasons, 71 catches for 765 yards and 12 touchdowns. First team all Big 12 last year. One of the top tight ends in this year's class, number 4 in the class, according to some. Others had him ranked in the top 100. Chiefs got him 131. So once again, really good value. Sure-handed. That's huge. He just had one drop during his career. And he's really good in the red zone. Big target. Man, you got Kelsey, and then you throw this guy. The Chiefs went to more tight end, multiple tight end sets late last year. Part of that's because the receivers are dropping the ball all the dang time. But this is a guy that, kind of like Kelsey from this standpoint, that sneaky speed. Wouldn't you say that's what Travis Kelsey is? Sneaky speed?
Oh, yeah.
He's already probably better as a blocking tight end than Kelsey was coming out of college. And he can line up at different spots, so he's versatile. And the Chiefs, you know, like to do things with anybody, wide receivers, tight ends, gadget players. So I like that pick. They didn't have a third round pick. And then let's go to the one that was picked there on Friday in the second round. That's Kingsley Suamataya from BYU, 6'4", 329 pounds, 21 years old. And he was a little bit inconsistent at times, but I think the Chiefs will fix that fairly quickly. And just allowed two sacks over the last two seasons, which definitely stands out. And this is a guy, of course, that played against good competition, the non-con from BYU, played in the Big 12. Mm-hmm. And I saw, he jumped straight out of a pool, like a standing broad jump. I saw this. He's 6'6", 330. I was like, holy shnikes. So he's explosive. And, the other thing, too, that the Chiefs try to do, and I think most teams try to do it, and the Chiefs have taken a few questionable guys that had some issues off the field. Obviously, we mentioned Tyreek Hill in past years. But, you know, you look at these guys, and Brett Veach just talked about how they really look at, will these guys fit into our culture? Will these guys fit into our locker room? You know, are these guys all about themselves? Are they about the team? You know, what kind of character? I mean, basically, we're talking about character. Yeah. And this kid, their second-round pick out of BYU, the tackle, seems like fits the Chiefs to a T in regards to culture and the character that this kid has. It looks like he enjoys football, and he's super athletic. I mean, they're talking about how he could have easily been a tight end. So there, I mean, once again, you're getting athletic players. I know pretty much anybody that's drafted is athletic. I get that. But there's a few of these players that the Chiefs got. They got the best rated safety, according to some, in the fourth round. Got one of the best tight ends in this draft, which I've been preaching for a few years. Get somebody to be the heir apparent to Kelsey. Maybe Wiley is that kid. And now they got a tackle, that's super athletic, 6'6", 330, that I would argue is more athletic than the last few tackles that they've had in regards to drafts. So I like what the Chiefs did. you know, Worthy is the one that people are going to look at a lot, but this is just my opinion. I think there are a few picks in this draft that are going to do better than what Worthy's going to do.
And I, you know, especially earlier, yeah, and get a chance to do it quicker than Worthy, just based on what, like you said, the time it takes to learn Andy Reid's offense and how long it does take most of these guys to kind of get acclimated to that. So, and I'm not saying Spags' defense isn't going to be difficult to learn in some situations, but, you know, it does seem like some of those younger guys have had some success getting in there fairly quickly. These are all things that, based on what you have at the position, sometimes you need to wait and see what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I was reading some comments the other night of after the first round that said Felix Anidike Uzomah's washed. And I'm like, they didn't need him last year. That's why they got him in Minnehue, so he could develop and be a better player. We don't know who he is yet because he didn't get the chance to play because there were dudes in front of him that he was trying to learn from. They didn't need him.
When he did play, actually, his metrics were not bad at all.
Yeah, it's like I don't understand what some people just see a first-round pick and think that they've got to be starting the first day that they're there.
Those people are those people absolutely don't know. They don't know football. They think they do. They act like they do. They look at a stat line. They go and go, oh, he only played so many snaps, he had so many tackles, so he's a bust. And what they don't understand is the Chiefs have done this for years now, where they find a guy, they draft, to replace a guy within a year or two.
Yeah.
And Omenihue, of course, I'm sure these people don't realize, Omenihue came back after a six-game suspension. Dana played really well. They re-signed Dana. Omenihue tore his ACL, so he's not going to be ready to go start this year. So guess what? We're going to have a broader, more of a look at your first-round pick from last year out of Kansas State early this season.
Yeah.
So let's just allow a little bit of time. Please.
I'm just like, and you know, that was the worst comment, but there's still so many comments about him not panning out, and it's like, what do you want? Like, what? Like,
what do you expect him to be? J.J. Watt?
Is everybody supposed to go in there their first year and just be a dominant force?
He was not a top five pick. He was the last pick of the round.
It's like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right? Like, it's the same situation. It's Xavier Worthy. Like, you know, these late guys are first round picks, and they're not always going to be right. And they don't need to be. That's the thing.
No, right.
That's the thing that blows my mind the most about it is, like, you're going to downgrade, like, these late first round picks that don't even need to be. You just won a Super Bowl. Like, 2 years in a row now. Like, these guys.
What are you doubting?
You need to add them to the mix, but they don't have to be superstars the moment they step on the field.
Felix Odikizama doesn't have to come out and have 20 sacks his first year, or even 10, or even 5, okay? And also, you don't need Xavier Worthy to come in and have 1,000 yards receiving.
No.
No, he could come in and have 40 catches for 518 yards and 3 touchdowns and be their best punt returner, and that would be a really good first year for a rookie late in the first round. The Chiefs don't need, I mean, you know, think about the Chiefs and how they spread the ball around. Kelce usually gets 1,000 yards. He was just shy of it this year. Rashee Rice was just shy of 1,000 yards. The Chiefs didn't even have a 1,000-yard receiver. Did that hurt them too much?
No.
No. Did the offense struggle at times?
People wanted to act like it did.
But. Yeah, I mean, the offense struggled at times, but they figured it out when they needed to most, as we were trying to tell people. They had a mix of run and pass, and their defense honestly carried them for a good portion of the year. So, I mean, what is there to be? I mean, it's just, you know, you just got to let those people just push them aside because they don't know what we know. They don't do the homework that we do, and they don't even probably watch football except maybe the last quarter of a game. Maybe they didn't even watch any Chiefs football all year long, and then they want to act like they go to the water cooler. Well, you know, Uzomah, I knew he was a bust. Did you say that when he was drafted? You probably didn't even know he was drafted late.
You don't
in the
even
first
know
round.
Who he is, bro.
You don't know who
it's
he is.
Like they've
you know
never
what college you went to?
He was drafted by the Chiefs, and it's like, yeah, dude, just calm down. But
you know, George Karlaftis, I questioned that pick, and he his first year, his rookie year, did okay, did some good things, played more than Uzomah did, and he's been working with Tom Bali, who is one of the best defensive pass rushers Chiefs have ever had. Obviously, Neil Smith, Eric Thomas were better, but Tom Bali was pretty good too. Tom Bali's been working with him, and you can see Karlaftis, Chris Jones has helped him out. Karlaftis really improved last year.
He's working with Felix now too, Tom Bali.
That's what I was just going to say. Tom Bali's working now with Felix.
Yeah.
And Felix has potential. Now, I'm not I was talking with somebody about Felix, and I wasn't like thrilled that he was the draft pick the Chiefs made at the end of the first round last year. I thought there was a little bit of, hey, you know, the local kid, you're hosting the draft. I thought there was a little bit to that. At the same time, the Chiefs aren't taking a guy just to take a guy to look good. They're taking a guy that they think can actually help them. And there's going to be a thing called development. That's one thing that people don't have anymore. Whether it's the people you're talking about, whether it's just general people, your friends, your family, whoever it is, your boss, your coworkers, there's a thing that people don't have anymore. It's called patience.
Yeah.
People don't have patience anymore. And then you think about the society that we live in now. We need to know immediately. Like, we can't wait. We're not going to wait till the 10-20 local sports to find out if the Shockers won.
Yeah.
We got to know right away. And we got to know with the Royals. I got to know what Bobby Witt Jr. did. You could wait, but no, you got to know right away. And we know we can get it right away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing that's really tough for these people with the draft. We want to know right away. Well, so what do we do when we can't wait and we're impatient? Well, we go ahead and label it. We just go ahead and say, that was a bad pick. That was a bad pick. That was a bad pick. That's a bust. That's a bust. That's a bust. This guy's amazing. And sometimes you're completely wrong. And it's the opposite of what you think. Well, Xavier Worthy, what a steal the Chiefs got. What you might find out is the Hicks kid in the fourth round was by far their best draft pick of this entire draft. Where it might be the tight end Wiley, or it might be the fifth round offensive lineman Hunter Norzad, who ends up being your starting center for Patrick Mahomes' sixth Super Bowl. Okay? I mean, there are guys that do – all these players are very talented. A lot of times it isn't necessarily that the player is bad. Sometimes it's the scheme. They don't fit. It just doesn't work. All you got to do is look at some quarterbacks that have flamed out, but then, you know, done okay when they've gone elsewhere. I mean, Alex Smith didn't set the world on fire at San Francisco. He was a number one overall pick. He had a new offensive coordinator every freaking year.
Yeah.
He goes to Kansas City, and all he does is become the number one rated quarterback, and then the Chiefs draft Mahomes to replace him because Smith could only get him so far. But Alex Smith had a pretty good winning percentage as a starter under Andy Reid in Kansas City. In the first year after going 2-14, Alex Smith led the Chiefs to a 9-0 record. There's a guy that had a change of scenery. I think Justin Fields going to Pittsburgh is going to be a terrific thing for Pittsburgh. You know, Zach Wilson going to the Broncos might end up working out pretty well. I don't know. Speaking of the Broncos, they drafted Bo Nix. I like Bo Nix. I saw a lot of people ripping Bo Nix. And maybe they could have waited and got him in the second round or traded down and got Bo Nix. But if the Broncos knew they wanted Bo Nix, why take a chance to lose Bo Nix?
Mm-hmm.
So get him. If that's the guy you really like as a quarterback, get him. And so there's people like making fun of the Broncos why they drafted Bo Nix. Did you watch Bo Nix play? 45 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, and his team went to the national playoff. Actually, they didn't. They lost twice to Washington.
Yeah.
My bad. But they were good enough to be in the playoffs.
They were in contention the entire
year. I mean, I watched him play. I was impressed with him. And so I have to say, I think he could be a really good quarterback for the Broncos. I may be wrong. I hope I'm wrong because I want the Broncos not to be so good.
Yeah.
But Bo Nix seems like a stand-up kid that jumped around a little bit in college from Auburn and Oregon. And yeah, he had weapons. That helps him. But I think people are like, what? Listen, if you don't have anybody to trade with the trade down, you take the guy you really like. And why would you chance losing him if that's the guy you want? The Chiefs didn't want to take a chance. They moved up 17 picks to get Patrick Mahomes because that's the guy they wanted. And I've said this forever. And I know people will make fun of people that get it wrong because that's what we do in society, right? We think we know everything, so we're going to tell everybody else they're wrong even though they're paid to do their job. And so I've said this for a very long time. I've said it about trying to find a coach. And we talked about it when K-State, when Bruce Weber was going to be done. We said, if Brad Underwood is your guy, K-State fans are making excuses. I heard it. We don't have enough money. We don't have the resources. That is baloney. You really want Brad Underwood? You can go get him. Now, are you going to have to back up the Brinks truck? Well, yes, you would have. But you could have got him. Would it have been difficult? Yes, I get it. But if you really want somebody, you go get him. Kansas went and got Bill Self. They made dang sure that was number one A and B on their list. It worked out, okay? Now, there's other times you go all in and to get somebody, and it doesn't work out. But let me tell you something. If I'm running an organization, and I have a strong conviction this guy is my guy, I'm going to go ahead and get fired going down with the guy I want instead of what somebody else tells me who's sitting behind a TV studio monitor. I if I've re-interviewed all these guys, I'm going to go get the guy I want. The Chiefs clearly wanted Patrick Mahomes. They went up and they got him. It's worked out tremendously. They went out and said, Andy Reid, you're not leaving the tarmac here at the airport. You're not leaving. You're going to be our coach. Now, that's worked out great. Could it have blown up in their face? Sure, it could have. But if you have strong convictions about who you think is perfect for your team, or this guy is the right guy, why would you mess and chance losing that guy? So the Chiefs are like, Xavier Worthy. They obviously thought somebody was going to draft him before them, and it was worth drafting up to get him. It might end up being perfect, a great fit, and better you can believe, it might not be that good. He might be the next Sky Moore for all we know. We don't know. And Sky Moore has only played 2 years. He still may be very good. We're giving up. Joel Embiid was told, you know how many people said Joel Embiid was a bust? Millions of people.
Yeah.
You know why? Only because he was hurt.
He didn't play, yeah.
Didn't play. Well, how's he a bust if he's hurt? Well, he's hurt all the time. Okay, he doesn't play. I get that. He doesn't play. But when he plays, he's pretty good. Yeah, but he never plays. Good point. But is he a bust?
It's going to be Greg Oden or Sam Bowie. Right. You know, like that's, a lot of people were saying those type of things, right?
Yeah, and so if you would have been in charge, those people that jump and have no impatience and, you know, would jump off a cliff because you told them to, those people in charge of your organization, you would have a mess because you would have already cut Joel Embiid or traded him for chopped liver. And the guy's the MVP of the league, reigning MVP.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to have patience. All right. I'm not giving up on Sky Moore yet. Like, I got more hope for Sky Moore than I do Kadarius Toney. And that's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I could be wrong on that. But the Chiefs will go ahead and try to get top flight talent at a discount price. And like Kadarius Toney, you get a third-round pick, you trade to get, you know, first-round talent, you trade a third-round pick to get Kadarius Toney. It might not work out, but if you feel strongly about it, go ahead and pull the trigger. So if you feel that Bo Nix is your guy and he might be the 25th overall pick and you're at 12, well, if that's the guy you really feel like can be the quarterback to turn things around for your franchise, then by all means, make the pick. Let all the people, you know, make fun of it all that you want. You know, I remember Russell Wilson was drafted in the third round by the Seahawks, and people were like, undersized, not big enough, what are they doing? Now, listen, I know Russell Wilson didn't play, it wasn't unbelievable in Denver, but he did win a Super Bowl and would have won two if they actually would have ran the ball with Marshawn Lynch. Russell Wilson's been a pretty good pick, wouldn't you say? He was for the Seahawks.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have strong conviction about a guy that you want, and it might not work. You know, the Bears were so much about Trubisky, they went from 3-2 to make sure they got him. Now, people make fun of that today, but if Trubisky ended up being a Hall of Fame quarterback, they look like geniuses, wouldn't they? But it didn't work out. Sometimes you take your shot and you swing and you miss. Sometimes you take your shot, you hit a single. Sometimes you take your shot and you hit a grand slam. Obviously, the Chiefs hit a grand slam on Mahomes. Not every trade's going to work out that way. Or every pick is not going to work out that way. And sometimes it's based on what the draft is. You know, Eric Fisher was number one overall pick by the Chiefs because there was no great skill position in that draft. And he was a serviceable, very good offensive lineman. Was he worthy of being the number one pick in the draft? Well, that year I guess he was because the draft wasn't that great. But we got to understand that patience is a virtue. We got to be patient. Kids, whether they're 8, 9, 10 years old, 15 years old, or 21 years old, they develop at different paces. And if you get the right fit, and that's a big part of this equation that people overlook all the time. If you might have a player that looks unbelievably athletic, but if he goes to the wrong franchise with the wrong scheme, like I'm used to running a 4-3, but they think somehow I'm going to work in a 3-4. Well, that sucks for you because you got drafted into a scheme that doesn't fit what you do. Or you got a coach that doesn't understand your strengths or isn't good at getting the best out of you. All of those things factor in. You know, if Trubisky would have gone to another organization, been picked 15th instead of 2nd, maybe less pressure on him, and maybe he would have turned out to. And he's still in the league, by the way. He's still making money. So he's not a bust in life because he's making still a lot of money. He's talented enough to still be on a roster. But he's just not the second overall pick. And so it is so easy for people to say, Felix Odukwuozomo is a bust. Dear Lord, he's been in the league 1 year. And he didn't have to play a lot because your team's so good they won the freaking Super Bowl. What do you expect? Every single draft pick to be a Hall of Famer? That's not going to happen. Ever.
Too many people look at the round and not the number
Of
the pick is the issue there.
Yes, that's part
of
it.
And, you know, I've seen... I learned not to have overly high expectations based on that part of it, like late first-round picks because of my NBA team, right? Like the Spurs would draft at, you know, 27, 28, 29, 30, whatever it would be, right? And like most of those guys would go right to the G League.
Right.
Or D League then. They weren't even factored into they're going to play right away. They were going to learn right away. And that's, I think, what a lot of these really guys need to do if you're picking late and if you feel like you have a team that's ready to go. And if you're drafting, you know, a wide receiver here like Xavier Worthy in the first round or whatever you're picking in the third round, fourth round, whatever it might be here for the Chiefs, is like these are guys that have opportunities to develop because he got such a good team. And there weren't a lot of needs mm-hmm. for this team, right? Obviously, right. Offensive line was a need. Wide receiver, people will say, was a need. And you can argue that it was or wasn't. I think you could take both sides of that, as far as needing to pick a guy that early as a wide receiver, right? But you know, I think a defensive back was a need, but the rest of it, or a corner, really. But the rest of it was like, you know, go get guys that you think are going to make this team better. And some people don't always realize that part of it either. It's like they want something, and they don't realize that their team has a different direction maybe than they have as far as who they're going to pick. But, yeah, I just with the Chiefs, but that's going to happen when new fans come in, too, because of they're bandwagon fans because your team's winning all the time now. And so now you're jumping on the bandwagon because you want to be a part of it. And a lot of those fans are going to be the fans that are like, well, why is this guy not playing? Because he was a first-round pick. And they're not going to pay attention to why they drafted him, when they're going to need him.
Well, development. I mean, you look at Brian Cook. Did he start his first year? No, he did not. And then he turned into a starter. Okay. Jarius Sneed is a great example of development.
Oh, yeah.
There's a guy that he had all the tools physically, and they worked him in, and now he ended up being, if you based him on his first year, would you say he was an unbelievable pick? Well, he wasn't a first-round pick, so you don't think too much about it. But had he been a first-round pick, you might have said the same thing after him his first year. You know, Isaiah Pacheco, he's learning how to hit the holes, be more patient as a running back, and he's learning how to catch the ball in the backfield better. He has developed into a good player. He wasn't like this when he was at Rutgers. He had speed. But he's developed into a actual more of a full-formed running back.
Today's Isaiah Pacheco would not be a seventh-round pick.
No.
Because he's developed.
Right. Exactly right. And so Karloftis, as I mentioned, is definitely developed. Mike Dana has developed. And, you know, he was drafted by the Chiefs. And so these guys develop over time. Every single – Chris Jones has developed. Patrick Mahomes has developed. Travis Kelce's developed. Rashee Rice developed before our eyes during the season.
Yeah.
So, you know – development is a big part of this, and that's going to be the key to these draft picks, no question about it. So we'll talk more about those draft picks, I'm sure, down the line, and as they play, and then we'll decide whether they're bust or not. But I think it's a little early to call them a bust when they haven't even played or even, you know, signed a contract. But whatever you want to do, that's fine. It's your own time, your own prerogative. We turn to the NBA.
That's it! The Timberwolves complete the sweep! They win a playoff series for the first time in 20 years. Minnesota on to the second round.
Anthony Edwards is a star, and a lot of people don't know about him because he didn't play for the Lakers or the Celtics. He plays with the T-Wolves. He dropped 40 for the T-Wolves last night. Didn't play great first half, didn't have to. Sometimes the stars just know when to kick it in. That's what he did last night. And the Suns, with their super team, which was never a super team, got bounced and swept. And there's a thing called chemistry. There's a thing called complete roster. And Bradley Beal was bad last night. You know, he was a great player with the Wizards. He was a great player for the team that sucked. Let's just call it what it was. He was on a team that was bad all the time. Now suddenly, I'm not a great athlete, so this might sound unfair. But I would imagine it's easier to pad your stats on a bad team than it is to go fit into a really good one. So then he goes with – so he's the top banana at Washington, but they're losing all the time. Mm-hmm. But he scores a lot of points. That's sweet and all. I remember there's a stretch where he scored 40 or more so many times in a row, and they lost every one of them. Mm-hmm. So does that really mean that he's a great player when he can't help his team win despite scoring 40? And you can say, well, it's because of what's around him. Well, he could say maybe he takes too many shots and he doesn't get other people involved. Maybe that was part of it. He goes to Phoenix, and right away I didn't think this was going to work. And Durant is, well, Booker's the number one there in Phoenix, and then Durant's 1B. So now you're the third dog. You're not even the alpha dog.
Yeah.
You're just the guy. You're one of the three top talented players. So there's way more pressure on Bradley Beal, way more expectations, despite making all the money he was. A lot more pressure than playing for a bad team. When you're going to a team that, you know, Booker's been to the NBA Finals, Durant has won a couple NBA Final MVPs with the Warriors. And Bradley Beal last night stunk. There's no other way to describe it. He was bad. And then he didn't, like, you see him walking off and just totally, like, didn't, his head coach trying to give him words of encouragement and give him five, and he just disregarded that. And there's bad body language. You know, we've been talking to our kids in youth baseball, and we saw a lot of it yesterday. I wasn't very happy. I kept my thoughts to myself to an extent. And part of it, I think, is the external pressure that people can put on these kids at such a young age. You could say the coaches are part of that, too. I'm not going to sit here and not look in the mirror myself and say, hey, maybe sometimes we're tough on these kids or whatever. Maybe that's part of it, and we contribute it to it. But I know when you got family members and then extended family members, and they're always yelling at you while you're trying to play. And as a coach, you don't appreciate it because you want them to focus on what you're trying to tell them to do, because you work with them in practice every day, and then you work with them at a game or whatever it may be. But there's a lot of external pressure, and then there's the pressure that kids put on themselves internally, okay?
Yeah.
And then it comes out in what I would argue is, it's not that they don't care. They really, truly care. But is it because they really, really care so much because they want the team to do well, or is it because they're so mad because they individually didn't do well? Okay. And I saw a few things yesterday that I'm not really pleased with, in regards to handling those, but they are young people that are growing up and learning how to handle their emotions. So that's part of the growing up developmental process. So what's Bradley Beal's excuse? I don't know, 'cause he's like 30, but I do understand his frustration. Because he's been hurt part of the year, he has not played that well this year, he obviously didn't play well last night. But at the same time, that does not help the team. This was a tight game when we went to the bench at that time, it was in the third quarter. D'Angelo Russell for the Lakers has been bad. Every game against the Nuggets had one really great game. And then they show him, and Jay Williams ripped him a new one, which I thought was appropriate. D'Angelo Russell's sitting at the end of the bench, not even the team huddle during a timeout. Tell that guy, if it were me, I mean, this is just me, and granted, there's all the money involved and blah, 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 but I would tell D'Angelo Russell, take your ass and just go to the locker room and pack up your crap, and you know what? You're not cut from the team. You can sit at the end of the bench in street clothes for the rest of the season. I don't care. And nobody seems to do that anymore because there's too much money involved in some of these situations. But those are cancers. Those are cancers. Okay, the adult situation. All right, and by the way, the youth part can be a cancer too, because then that bleeds over into bad body language for others. And like we tried to tell the kids yesterday, we need somebody to step up as a. You know, we can only do so much as a coach. You can do only so much as a parent, but you need teammates to become leaders at some point and say, "Hey, man, head up. You'll get the next one. Hey, the next one's coming at you. Don't worry about it. I messed up earlier too." Instead of, "Come on, man, what's wrong? Why can't you make that play?" Notice a difference? There's a slight difference there. Okay? So I understand when Bradley Beal is expected to be the difference to come to Phoenix and somehow these guys are going to put together the super team and win a championship, and he didn't play to what his level was. I would argue that I wouldn't say melted under the pressure, but I think he never has had to deal with that type of pressure before, and he didn't deal with it very well because the playoffs are a whole different animal. And I think the Suns had this whole thing, they were going to flip a switch. They're going to flip a switch. And these super teams tend to do that. They think they're going to flip a switch. And sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. But these teams that try to acquire a whole bunch of talent, put together super teams, it just doesn't work much anymore. Look at the Nuggets. They develop, they drafted, then they make a nice pickup here and there in free agency or a trade. But it's mostly developing the team. You're building the team. You're not just going out and buying the best players and then throwing them all together. You know, with the Suns, they traded for Durant, traded for Beal, gave up a ton of assets, which I said was a mistake when they went and got Durant. And Mikal Bridges is a very good player, and they got rid of him. And a whole bunch more assets. Said the same thing when the Nets, you know, traded and went and got Irving, Harden, and Durant. I'm like, this is not going to work. Yeah, I knew it when Garnett and Pierce were at the end of their careers, and the Nets were dumb enough to think that it was going to work somehow. The Lakers did it with Gary Payton, Karl Malone, with Shaq and Kobe, and they got swept in NBA Finals. You know, the Celtics did it once, as we talked about before, with Garnett, Pierce, and Allen. The Heat were able to win a couple titles with Bosch and Wade and LeBron. But these super teams tend to not really work out too well. And you put so much money into three players, and then you don't have a lot of money left, and you're trying to piecemeal it together. An older Eric Gordon. A guy, Royce O'Neal, that probably shouldn't be starting, but has to because you have so much money tied up in Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal. But Bradley Beal, I know he was frustrated, but that's a guy to me that the stage was too big. He wasn't used to it. He was on a bad team for so long, he could get away with certain things. And you get exposed in the playoffs. If you're not a great player, you get exposed in the playoffs. You absolutely do. And I thought Bradley Beal was exposed last night. And the Suns lose as the Wolves win. And the Wolves have a star. He's a stud. And that's Anthony Edwards. What's crazy about this game last night was the Wolves swept the Suns. They move on. They're the better team. I had no doubt they were going to win the game watching that whole thing last night. But their head coach, you see what happened to him?
I did.
He was helped off the court late in the fourth quarter of Game 4 against the Suns after his point guard Mike Conley ran into him. Team confirmed that Chris Finch, their head coach, tore his patella tendon in his right leg. Had to be carted off the floor. Man, that is a crazy freak injury, to say the least. Elsewhere in the NBA playoffs, the Clippers blew a 31-point lead. They were up 31 in the first half. They then were down one with about 2.5 minutes to go, and Paul George hit an incredible shot from the corner for three. It was insane. He had 33. Harden had 33. Clippers blew the lead but rallied to win over the Mavericks, 116-111. Kawhi Leonard was out again, inflammation in his knee. And like we said, when they signed him to that big $152 million extension, what are you doing? But that's the Clippers. The Clippers have done the same thing. The Clippers tried to put together the star team, and they're better without listen, they're better with two of the three instead of all three. The Clippers, two games they've won, Leonard didn't play. Mm-hmm. The games they lost, Leonard played. Now, I know Leonard's not 100%. I get that. But Harden was very good at down the stretch. George was terrific. They each had 33. No Leonard. They still won. Irving had 38 for the Mavericks. He played great. Luka had a triple-double. But, you know, I like Luka early on. I am so tired of him whining to officials. Dear God, stop it. I'm
trying
tired.
To be Dirk Nowitzki is what he's doing.
But Nowitzki, to me, was not nearly as bad as Luka. Luka's way worse, in my opinion. The Lakers avoided a sweep on Saturday with a win over the Nuggets, 119-108. The Thunder up 3-0. They blew out the Pelicans. In the East, the Magic tied their series 2-2 with a win over the Cavaliers. Celtics won easily over the Heat to go up 2-1. Yesterday, the Knicks took a 3-1 lead over the Sixers with a 97-92 win in Philadelphia. Joel Embiid, after the game, was talking about the fans, because Philadelphia and New York are very close in proximity. And you could hear the Knicks fans chanting, "Knicks in five." I mean, it was like home court for the Knicks, but it was in Philly. And supposedly, Philly has the greatest fans in the world and so forth and so on, even though they booed Santa Claus. But Joel Embiid said after the game, and I quote, "I love our fans. Think it's unfortunate, and I'm not calling them out, but it is disappointing. Obviously, you got a lot of Knicks fans, and they're down the road. I've never seen it, and I've been here for 10 years. Yeah, it kind of pisses me off, especially because Philly is considered a sports town, so they've always shown up, and I don't think that should happen. Yeah, it's not okay." That sounds like you're calling him out. I'm not calling him out, but I am. And I don't blame him. Here's the thing. I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I don't blame him. And there's two ways of looking at these comments, and I'll give you those two ways in 30 seconds.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. Did you know that we sell tires? We also perform alignments and all the other services that go along with them. We handle all the top brands, extras like road hazard warranty, complimentary tire rotations, and complimentary tire repairs are available for purchase on most tires. Right now, we are offering $80 off when you buy a set of four. Call or stop by Kiever Brothers Automotive for fast, friendly tire services today. Find us just south of the courthouse in Beloit or on the web at KieverBrothers.com.
So, getting back to Joel Embiid, two ways of looking at it. One, you understand he's frustrated. You understand that he doesn't want to have the home fans taken over or the road fans taken over in his place. I totally, fully understand that. At the same time, your job's to win. Your job's to win.
Yeah.
Your job's to win. And you're making millions upon millions of dollars to win. And the fans have a right to spend the money or not spend the money. And if Knicks fans are more willing to spend the money and make the road trip and Philly fans aren't, you can sit here and call them bad fans, I guess. Or maybe they're just not as rich as the Knicks fans. I mean, it ain't cheap. It ain't cheap to go to games. And I've never been a huge fan, no pun intended, I've never been a big fan of athletes calling out fans. Because they don't know what the hell the fans go through to afford going to a game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's the rich, and in some cases, spoiled people. They're on the front row of these NBA games paying $25,000 a pop like it's nothing. And let me tell you something I've noticed here the last week so since the NBA playoffs have started. I'm sure other guys out there have noticed this. There are some well-endowed women that are sitting on the front row at some of these games. I mean, I'm talking well-endowed. Like, they've had a lot of work done to the bosom area, okay? I mean, a lot of work done. These are billionaire or millionaire people that don't mind dropping six figures for a job. A boob job. A facelift. And by the way, men can be doing this too. Not the boob job, but well, maybe they can. But the men, you know, they got the whole thing with their hair to make them not look bald. I mean, there's all kinds of... I've seen some men that have had a lot of work done too. So I'm not trying to say that this is just women. But the reason I'm bringing this up is those people have tons of money. So it's money's not even a factor. If they want to go to an NBA game and be on the first row, they will be on the first row. Mm-hmm. But when you're calling out, the people that are the loudest fans are typically the ones that really, really care. And by the way, the ones sitting on the front row are rich. They don't really care, I don't think.
There's sometimes you just like, they're not even paying attention to the game. They're just setting a spot. Yeah.
It's a status thing. But the real true fans are the ones that are usually the most loud and obnoxious sometimes and really into the game. Those are your true fans that probably, you know, work a regular job like most of us middle class people do. And they had to save money to go to a game. And so I'm not a big fan of athletes calling out fans. Sitting here, you know, I'm not a big fan sometimes. I've seen it at K-State a lot, you know, that, well, these kids are not, the students are not in the game, or they're not there, or there's not enough students in the student section, or this is pretty sad, or even, you know, KU fans trying to point it out, or K-State fans trying to point out something at a KU football game. I'm like, listen, do I want people to go support the local college teams in particular because they're student athletes, they're not professionals? I don't feel sorry for any professional athlete that doesn't get enough support in the stands. You're paid. Mm-hmm. Whether there's a person, whether there's nobody in the stands, if it's all Knick fans, whether it's all 76er fans, your job is to do perform. There's nothing in your contract that says there has to be more Sixer fans in the arena than Knicks fans at a home game. Now, I understand Embiid's frustration. Don't get me wrong. He's like, dude, I play for this town, I play for this city, and yet you guys have been outnumbered by the Knicks, which we don't know if they're outnumbered. Maybe they're just quieter because, I don't know, you're losing!
Yeah.
There's less to cheer for. Maybe that's why.
It's going to be louder anyway.
It's always going to be louder with the team that's doing well. But usually, you like to think you got a 90-10 split. I get that. But to close proximity, I mean, we see in the NFL, the Niners bring more fans than the Rams do, you know, at their stadium now.
Yeah.
And with the Chargers have the same thing.
The Chiefs fans just overtake. That's not even close.
The Steelers did it.
Take it over.
The Steelers did it, Charger game. I was like, holy cow, it's like Pittsburgh. But you know, that is what it is. People have a right to, well, you, as a K-State fan, you can't be selling your tickets to a KU fan for a KU K-State football game. Why not? It ain't your money. Right? If I've worked hard enough, let's just say I started at the very bottom, okay? I was a mason within a construction company. And I've worked my way up to a top executive at a big construction company. Or I started my own little business and it's turned into something big. And I can afford season tickets to a KU basketball season or a K-State football season, all right? And then I want to sell my tickets. And I've got somebody that's going to give me what I want for them, and I got somebody that thinks they could get a discount because they know me. If I'm a business person, straight up business person. Now, granted, if I'm rich, maybe I don't care. But if I'm just a hard working person that I'm not even the top of a construction company, but I decided this is my extracurricular money that I'm going to spend, okay? Instead of going to the casino or flying to Vegas three times a year, my money that I'm going to spend is going to be on K-State football season tickets for me and my family. Or I'm going to spend it on KU season tickets for KU basketball, okay? So let's say that I'm not super rich or wealthy, but I'm doing okay to where I've afforded it, saved my money, I've done this. And there's a game that I can't go to. And so I list them for, you know, so much money. It's a marquee game. It's KU, K-State, or it could be K-State, Iowa State. I don't care who it is. Or KU basketball versus Oklahoma, KU versus K-State. Well, you can't sell them to the other team's fans. Why not? Their money is just as good as mine.
Yeah, I've talked about it before. You can't, did we sit here with Royals bus trip when the Yankees and Royals played? Did we say the Yankee fans are banished, could not be on our bus?
No.
No, the more the merrier. It'll make it even more interesting. So we guess what? The Yankee fans' money, believe it or not, is American money too. And it, it cashes at the bank. And if there are not enough Royals fans to fill the bus, I'll give them to A's. I'm not giving them to them, but I'll sell to Twins fans, A's fans, Ranger fans. I don't care because it's business. I need to fill the bus, right?
Yeah.
So if there's not enough fans that want to show up or want to pay to see the Sixers at home and Knicks fans are willing to pay the full freight, as a Sixer ticket holder, if I'm tired of going to the games or I'm not happy with something on the team or I just simply don't have the time to go or maybe I had a conflict that popped up, if somebody's willing to give me the full amount that I want, I really don't care if it's a Knick or Sixer fan. I don't care if it's a KU or K-State fan. I want my money. Because I worked hard to earn the money to have the season tickets in the first place. Yet there's people out there that want to tell you how to spend your money. Like, they want to tell you who you should give your tickets to. I don't show up at your office and tell you how to do your job. I'll tell you exactly where you should, you know, instead of eating out every time, maybe you should save money and go home and make a sandwich. It's your money. I can't stop you from doing anything. I can tell you, park across Blue Ridge Cutoff and save yourself half the price for Chiefs parking. But if you want to still spend $60, be my guest. Okay? So when I hear fans tell, well, K-State students are just not supporting the team, or KU students don't support the team, or, well, you know what? It's a thing called money. And especially when you go to the student level, the students are like, well, listen, I got other things I could be doing. I don't know. Maybe they're responsible and actually studying for something. So it immediately you cast the thing over people and say, oh, Sixer fans aren't good enough because they didn't fill the place and Knicks fans took over. Or K-State fans aren't good enough because they didn't fill the whole student section. And we have a good team this year. Now, I understand you want to fill and support your teams if they're doing well, which usually if they're doing well, you're going to fill it. But what some people don't understand, and definitely athletes don't understand this, because especially professional athletes, they make so much damn money, they have no idea. They wipe their nose with it, okay? They make so much freaking money, they don't understand how much it costs to go to a game with limited money. We've talked about before, the NBA has load management. It's a crock. There are people that have spent really good money to see Kevin Durant come to OKC again, and then Durant has a night off. Or Luka has a night off. Or Embiid has a night off. Does Joel Embiid care about the fans? Does he even think about the fans when he sits out because he's got a little bit of an ache and it's precautionary? When it's a playoff game, you know he's going to play? So I'm not trying to rip on Joel Embiid. Yeah. But I get that he's a passionate guy, and I get that he'll say things, and I appreciate it, that he's blunt. And I do understand where he's coming from when he whines about the fans being outnumbered at a home game. I get it. I truly do. But at the same time, does he seem to care about the fans when they don't have access because prices are so damn high that the rich, with all their jobs that have been done to their bodies, have the best tickets? Does he ever care about that? Does he care about having real obnoxious, really great in-your-grill fans that are really passionate instead of sitting in the 38th row, upper deck, that they're sitting courtside to really give you home court advantage? No, Joel Embiid don't give a crap about that. So it is convenient that when you lose, you complain about the crowd. And did that really truly make the difference between you winning or losing by 5 points? Here's a thought. Did the fans have any impact on you preventing Jalen Brunson from scoring 47 freaking points? Because that's what he scored yesterday. So I'm not a fan of professional athletes calling out fans because I don't think they understand where the fans are coming from at all. And they don't understand the budgetary money restraints, because going to an NBA playoff game or going to even college sports games continue to go higher and higher price wise. It's you're pricing out the regular fan. The Super Bowl is a complete joke. Okay. It's great to watch on television. All you got to do, put two TVs together, put one next to each other. Play any decent NFL football game from the regular season, okay, or a playoff game. Listen to the sound, and then play the Super Bowl. The natural sound, not the announcers. Mm-hmm. Just listen to the background sound.
It's corporate America that has a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
People with suits that sit on their butts and don't, they're, you know, the hobnobbing, whatever. It's not the same. You can tell it. I've never been to a Super Bowl, but you can tell it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? You can hear it. When it's a home game, not on a neutral field, it's obviously better. And so I just don't like hearing this from in particular professional athletes. And I think it's very easy too for media people. And Kansas State has media people that do this. And I know they're not the only ones. There's other schools that do it. But I can think of a couple that have been very critical of K-State students or K-State fans for not. And it's like, yeah, you're sitting in the sweet-ass press box while it's 28 degrees outside and there's flurries coming into the area.
Mm-hmm.
But you're sitting here telling me that K-State doesn't have the real fans to fill the seats when your ass ain't out there in the cold. You're in the convenient, nice press box looking down on everybody with central heat and air. That's pretty convenient, you know? I mean, why don't you go ahead and say, you know, in order to bring people to the game, I, media person such and such, am actually going to brave the elements, and I want to actually be amongst the people, and I want to report on how great the fans are. No, I want to cast my stones from the top of the press box and say, those students are not any good because they're empty seats, and what are they doing, and they, how could they not come to the game? Well, did you know that there's an 80% chance of hail and wind and storms and whatever else? 11 a.m. kickoffs aren't good sometimes. I mean, it is so easy to cast your stone from a high.
Yeah, I've always, and like you said, it is not just K-State. And it's like the media people that are telling me that there should be more fans, and it's like what does that affect how you're doing your job?
Some of those
like,
media people never paid to buy a ticket to go to a game.
None of that even, I don't ever understand that part of it, like when media members are doing it. But I will say, if you're a player, a coach, I agree with you. I don't like hearing it at the professional level because you're paid to do a job.
Yes.
And that's what you're going out there to do, whether you're the player or the coach. I remember, you know, one of those years, I think it was 2014 when the Royals made the World Series, and it was a mid-September Monday night game, and Alex Gordon hit a walk-off home run, and Ned Yost complained that there wasn't more fans in the stands. And I'm like, it's a September Monday night game. People are at school.
They have other responsibilities.
And, yeah, I get it. They were making a run, and they were starting to play good, and they were in that wild card hunt, and obviously they ended up making the playoffs. And, well, you never had an issue with who was there at the playoff games, did you, for the Royals?
No. I mean,
those places were packed for every single one of those games, so in 14 and 15. So, you know, I think it was I never understood that part. And that's just an example of like, it's like, understand that people actually have lives too.
They do.
And you're playing 81 of these at home during the year in baseball. You're playing 41 of these games at home in basketball, unless you have, you know, some neutral site games that get added in, you know, as a special game or something.
Right.
And it's like, not everybody's going to be at all these. And also, you're a team in Philadelphia that's underachieved for so many dang years that it's like
the process.
These people don't even want to go to the game probably anymore. Yeah. And that's why the next people are getting them. I agree with you on the pro thing. I also would say I don't like it when coaches and players are calling out people at the college level anymore either because of what you said.
Mm-hmm.
The price is outrageous to park at a K-State football game. And then the season ticket holders, not only do they have to pay for their ticket, they've got to pay a donation ahead of up front to reserve a spot, and then they pay for the face value of the ticket. And everybody's complaining about how much they're charging on a buy sell trade on Facebook for a K-State ticket, and the face value is $75. You had to pay a $2,000 donation up front to get my seat. So the face value of the ticket is what I paid plus my donation divided by how many games there are. And it's like, people don't understand that part of it. And so I think Jerome Tang does this real well. He does it very accurately. When he complains about the crowd, it's the students.
Mm-hmm.
We need the students here. Mm-hmm. We're there for you. We come to your fraternity, sorority, whatever. We need you to come here for us. He doesn't say that about the general public.
No, he doesn't.
He's asking the students to show up. Bruce Weber was not like that. If he complained about fans, it was just all around. And those media people that you're talking about, all around. It's not just the students. They're complaining about everybody. There's two of them that are on the top of my mind that I know right away.
Yes.
And it's like, people have lives, one. it's not cheap to go to any of this stuff anymore.
No.
Men's basketball and football are not cheap at all at the college level. And now you also don't want to hear those players complaining about it, too, because they're getting NIL deals. Mm-hmm. They're getting paid. Mm-hmm. Coaches getting paid millions upon millions upon millions of dollars to coach, even at the college level now. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear it anywhere, to be completely honest with you. Mm-hmm. It rubs me the wrong way on a lot of that stuff. Focus on what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Go out and win. And if you go out and win, people are going to show up. Now, Philly's an example of a team that did actually go out and win, and the Knicks have more fans. But Philly didn't win this year like they've been winning in the past, mm-hmm. or else they would not be having a road situation.
Embiid was hurt for
exactly.
Portion,
yeah. But that's what I'm saying, though. It's like they're not as good this year as they've been in the past, too, and that's going to, whether they know that Embiid played or not, that's going to hurt their ticket sales in the postseason because mm-hmm. they're a lower-seeded team.
Right.
And the Knicks want those tickets. And if you're quicker on the trigger to get those tickets up at the top,
that's part of
they
life.
They go to whoever gets them.
Right.
You know, the Sixers can't say, hey, check this box if you're a 76ers fan and go through this background check.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Like, you can't do that. So right. It's like, yeah. And maybe there would have been more Philly people there, but the Knicks people were faster on the trigger to get their online tickets. You know, it's like you can't adjust to how the tickets are being sold either.
No.
And so that's just it, all of it is just like go out and do your part in what you're supposed to do and move on.
Amen, brother. I'm with you. I'm with you on all of that. Pacers beat the Bucks 126-113, go up 3-1 as Giannis and Lillard did not play. Tonight, OKC plays game 4 in New Orleans, going for the sweep at 7:30. At 9 o'clock, the Nuggets try to close out the Lakers in game 5. In the East at 6:30, the Heat host the Celtics in game 4. Heat trying to even that series at 2 apiece. We end with the hockey playoffs.
2 goals at 6-on-5 for the Vancouver Canucks. In front, Lindholm scores! Elias Lindholm! An unlikely overtime win for Vancouver!
Vancouver wins. I was actually watching this hockey game a little bit, and I went to bed because I was tired, and I thought Nashville was going to be fine. 3-1 was the deficit for the Canucks in Nashville, but they come back with less than 3 minutes remaining, and they win in sudden-death overtime 4-3. They're up 3-1 in that series against the Predators. The Avs, Colorado Avalanche, they're up 3-1 over the Winnipeg Jets after losing Game 1. They've won the last three. They beat the Jets 5-1 in Denver. Edmonton beat the LA Kings 1-0, take a 3-1 lead in their series. In the East, the Rangers swept the Capitals with a 4-2 win. They're the first team to advance to the second round. Two games on the ice tonight. Panthers are up 3-1 on the Lightning. They host Game 5 at 6, and the Golden Knights of Vegas lead the Stars of Dallas 3-1. Game 5 tonight at 8:30. For all the latest local sports information, it's always available to you at your fingertips, ncksports.com. Sports Ticket brought to you, as always, by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Just remember that Dusty and I are here for you, and we will not judge you if you don't want to pay an exorbitant amount of money for tickets to an athletic event.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.